Community Connections at CKMS. Local sounds, thoughts, passions, and success. Celebrate local, your neighbor's got a story to tell. Community Connections at CKMS.
Happy Friday, Waterloo Region. It is June the 23rd, 2023. You're listening to CKMS Community Connections. My name is Bob Jonkman. In the studio with me are Matt Lamb and Aaron Lang from Waterfowl, and we'll be talking to them in just a bit. I'm going to listen to their intro track off their Habitat album called, appropriately enough, Intro. Very good intro to Waterfowl. Welcome to the studio, Matt and Aaron.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Thanks.
Glad to have you here. So tell me, that was Waterfowl, a band from Kitchener, or not?
Well, we like to say we're from Kitchener. We're kind of from both Kitchener and Toronto. We grew up in Toronto, and Matt here went to school at Waterloo for university.
Okay.
And then I moved to Kitchener to live with him in 2022, I think, for a year, and then that's when we made the album. So we're both from Kitchener and from Toronto.
So the album was made while everybody was in Kitchener.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. So just the two of you in the band, or are there more?
We have two other members who aren't here today. Ben Easton, he's from Brantford, and Calvin Wu in Toronto.
Okay.
So drummer.
Okay, drummer and...
And Ben plays guitar and keyboards.
And occasionally sings.
Yeah, and occasionally sings. Y'all play keyboards, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, when we play live, it's kind of cramped because we have a lot of different instruments. We have two keyboards and then a drum kit and then like three or four different guitars, three mics.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. So you do play live then?
Yeah.
I was wondering about that because you said you weren't able to make it into the studio with for a live performance, which saddened me a little.
Yeah, unfortunately, it didn't work out this time, but we did. We started with recording the album and then... I guess after a month after it came out, we started trying to put the songs together live. So we did it kind of in a reverse order.
Oh.
And yeah, Ben and Calvin were great. They learned like all the tracks really fast, really quickly. And yeah, we played, I think, three live shows now.
Yeah, hopefully more to come during the summer.
Yeah.
Really? So that is doing things backwards, isn't it? Because most bands that I know of do their live gigs and they say, okay, let's cut this stuff into an album.
Yeah.
But you guys did it the other way around.
Yeah, it was a bit of a process to figure out how to take all the recorded tracks and then arrange them so that four people could play it live. But I think it ended up working out. We're still figuring out some things here and there.
Yeah, there's a lot of instrument switching mid-song.
Yeah.
In a live show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is on the album, is it the same personnel on the album?
So the album was written by me and Matt and recorded by me and Matt. And then after when we decided to play it live, then we asked Ben and Calvin to join.
Okay. Yeah. Because you couldn't do the overdubs live on stage
exactly.
And the like. So no. What's it like doing that? What's it like trying to adapt something from a studio performance into a live performance?
It's interesting. I think we just try and keep the spirit the same. Like we don't necessarily try and recreate all of the parts because we weren't really thinking about playing it live at all when we recorded it. So I think as long as we can get like the core of it down, then that's really what we're going for.
Right. There's a lot of fans out there who might have been listening to the album expecting to hear exactly the same thing on stage. What do you do about that?
Yeah, I'm not sure if we have that problem of fans yet, but yeah, I think more important live is really like the energy that you're playing the songs with, and rather than like being true to every single texture and timbre, that we have the freedom to create, like, while we're using recording software and VSTs. So I think trying to emphasize ways that we could, yeah, keep the energy high was more important to us. And also, yeah, just make it, like, feasible to play live and not have to switch instruments, like, too many times.
But you didn't write the music with the intention of playing live.
No, not at all. And it was actually kind of freeing to do it like that because we didn't really have any constraints in terms of how many instruments we had to have per song or things like that.
Right. Right. You can just add another layer if it isn't quite right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So how do you manage that level of energy when you're not in front of an audience? How do you get that? How do you get feedback to know that the energy is right?
It's a bit tough. Yeah, it definitely took a lot longer to write these songs than if we would have been just playing them live, I think. But it also helped that we were in Kitchener living together for a whole year, so we did have a lot of time to bounce these ideas off each other.
Right. Had you written music before you joined up together?
Yeah, we had a band in high school in Toronto called Afterthought, and we played like a mix of covers and some originals, and there I think we did it more traditionally. Like, we started just playing covers with our friends, and then we wrote and tried to record a few tracks at home. So we have had a decent amount of song experience together, and then when we went off to university, we kind of stopped that for a while. But then with the pandemic and us both graduating, we decided it was a good time to, like, you know, try to take a more serious crack at songwriting and composing and actually, like, putting a full album out there. So
what do you expect your market to be when you're writing the album? Since you had no idea of going live at the time, just putting it on the various streaming sites and hoping for the best, or is there a real push for marketing and promotion?
I think for me, it might be different for Aaron, but for me, it's more just to make something and share it with, like, friends and family and loved ones. There's not really an emphasis on trying to make it big, although we did try to make it accessible for people to listen on streaming.
And now you're on the radio.
And yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so we made it.
We decided that, you know, it's time to sell out.
It's community radio, so I hardly think it's a sellout. Leave the sellout for the big stuff later.
Yeah.
Having one album under your belt, did you record with your Toronto band back then? Is there other recorded music from the early days?
We did, yeah. I don't think it's available on streaming services or anything. It was just like very, very amateur stuff because we didn't really know what we were doing in terms of producing or anything yet.
Yeah. So not something you want to put on the radio?
Maybe, no. Maybe later. Maybe in the archives.
Okay.
Yeah, the hardcore fans will know what the SoundCloud is for that.
Yeah. Okay, I will do some internet stalking and see if I can dig it out. And you never know, if you might hear that stuff on the radio at some point. So now you've got this one album out. You're just leaving it on the various streaming services, or are you getting a promotional push? Because you're looking for gigs as well.
Yeah, right now it's just on the streaming services. We used some like online websites to get some press when we first released it, but now it's kind of calmed down, and now it's mainly just through streaming services.
Okay, so you haven't got a publicist, you haven't got a manager, a promoter?
No, not yet. Like that. Self-managed.
Yeah, in the future, or are you going to keep it all nicely under one hat?
I don't know, that's something we haven't really thought about.
I know there's a lot of musicians out there that want to keep it all for themselves, because there's some loss of control, you know, some influences on their creativity if they have somebody else doing the management for them.
Mm-hmm.
And not everybody really likes that very much.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah. I think another side of it is we're both working full-time at the moment, so doing music on the side as well as doing all the management and all of that side of things, we'd have to find time for it.
Yeah, it's tough to shoehorn that in, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Now, you've expanded to a four-member band. Going to be recording with the other guys as well?
I hope so, if they're interested. Yeah, I think going back to maybe the more traditional way of songwriting and jamming as a band would be a lot of fun. And it might provide a lot of new insight from those two members and, some new ideas.
And so you'll be sharing the songwriting credits and...
I hope so.
Or it'll just strictly be a Matt and Aaron...
No, we'll steal their ideas.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Don't say that out loud.
No.
All right, let's have a listen to a song that we've got on the album. You were recommending something there, Matt.
Yeah, Open Up, I think.
Open Up is the last track on the album.
I think it's the fourth.
It's the fourth.
Yeah, it might just be out of order there.
Have I got things out of order? Well,
yeah, that's okay.
It was our lead single.
Okay. It might be screwing it up.
So you did promote stuff as individual tracks then, not just as a complete album.
We released three singles to try to build up the hype. And we did do some promoting for that lead single, which is why you'll probably see it has a lot more streams than the other ones. But
okay.
Yeah, we decided to just leave that at that for the album.
But what's the origin for Open Up? How did you develop this? Did you intend it to be a single off the album, or?
I think this is one that we wrote. A lot of the songs we wrote before we had come to the apartment to record, but this was one that we thought of like during our recording process, and we kind of just jammed it out. And I don't know, for me, I didn't realize that it was going to be a really good song, but now it's definitely one of my favorites, so.
I remember for me, I was just messing with this new effect I got. It was a Leslie, like a rotary effect.
Oh, yeah.
And I started playing the main riff, and I was like, hey, Matt, come play this with me. And then we kind of banged out the whole song in like I don't know, an hour or two.
Really?
Yeah.
I always think this is much harder work, you know, slaving and beavering away at doing, you know, the songwriting stuff, crossing out lots of crumpled up paper.
Yeah. Sometimes.
Yeah. It depends on the song. But I think for this one, the pain was really on Aaron's side when he was, like, producing the track, because there's a lot of textures and a lot of, like, effects going on, so balancing that in the mix. I think this was the first one we produced, too, so we had the least amount of experience on that. So that was where the 95% of the work was, I think.
Okay, so let's have a listen to this, sure. Open Up by Waterfowl. We'll do some more comparative musicology later on in the show.
Thanks.
open up by Waterfowl, of whom we have Matt Lamb and Aaron Lang in the studio. Matt is really nice and slick and well-produced and quite lovely.
Thank you.
So there was a section in the middle there, some obscured vocals, non-musical vocals. Tell me about that.
That, I believe, is a sample of, I don't remember their name, but some crypto tech bro giving a talk about, like, the commodification of water, or he was using that as an example to, like, talk about smart contracts or something related to crypto and blockchain. And I just sampled it because it sounded kind of eerie. Water is, like, one of the themes on the album. We talk about it a fair bit. But this song in particular, we wrote about, it's kind of a satire of joining a cult.
Yeah.
So that's where the lead refrain comes from. Open up. Open up your mind. And we thought, yeah, just to throw that in there because it sounds pretty eerie. And
yeah. It's it works, though. It's
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, nice little bridge in the center there. I have this terrible habit of letting the music flow over me and not really listening to lyrics until I've listened to the song many, many times over. I'm not quite at that stage for any of the Waterfowl catalog yet.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
Me too.
Yeah. Music first.
Music first?
Yeah.
Okay, music first, lyrics second.
Yeah.
For sure.
All right. That's
that's sometimes how we write too.
That's
I hope it doesn't.
Like the whole time how we write. Music first.
I hope it doesn't show.
No. I mean, it's about 50-50, I think. Other people that I've had in the studio, I ask that question. You know, are you a poet that puts your poetry to music, or are you musicians that add words? And it's split down the middle, I think.
Yeah. No, I'm always interested in finding out how other people write as well. I've always tried to start writing lyrics first, but it's hard for me. I'm less of a lyricist.
Yeah. When you are writing and you're putting lyrics down, how do you split the task between the two of you?
I think, Matt, you did more lyrics, most of the lyrics on the album.
Yeah, and then Aaron does the majority of the songwriting.
You have any kind of tune running through your head when you're starting to write lyrics? You have any idea of rhythm or pacing or anything like that? Or is it just the words have to come out and you juggle them around a little bit later?
I think we tried to start with melodies from most of the progressions that we were working with. So Aaron would normally have some progression and song structure outline, and then probably some ideas for a melody, and then we would take that melody and try to form some words to it, and then throughout the process of writing the lyrics and also figuring out like what I can sing comfortably in my range, we would then alter the melody a little bit. So that's kind of how.
Yeah, so it's a bit of give and take. Music first, add the lyrics, change the music.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
change the lyrics to fit again.
There's a lot of demos of me just singing nonsense words with a melody. And I generally just try and fit the actual words over that melody later.
That's kind of cool. Is that publishable material?
Definitely not.
How long does it take? You said this one came out pretty quickly.
Yeah, I think this one, the main, like the verse and the chorus we wrote pretty fast, and then had this idea for the song structure in a couple of days, I want to say.
Yeah. So when I said we wrote the song in 1 to 2 hours, that was mainly just the music part of it. The lyrics, I think, for the song took longer.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the production was a whole ordeal.
Yeah. So this being the first produced song, we got this in the studio in March sometime. So you sent it to us. I think you said as a single. Mm-hmm. And then I had to ask you for the rest of the album because didn't know there was more Waterfowl material out there.
Well, it was technically unreleased. You got a sneak peek.
Oh, cool. All right. Listen to CKMS FM for all the up-to-date stuff. So it's released now.
Yeah, it was released in April.
Okay. Yeah. Big party?
We actually did. We had a release party at Supermarket in Toronto.
Oh.
Not a supermarket. It's a bar called Supermarket. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun.
Is that sort of the home base for Waterfowl?
Not necessarily. We've just played the one show there. We just thought it was a good venue, good location. Yeah, turned out pretty well.
Yeah, there was a small incident with a fire like in their furnace system that happened like after the first band played. But thank you to the Toronto Fire Department for coming in and fixing that. So we actually managed to finish that show, which I thought at that time like Evacuate
the building.
You're going to have to evacuate.
Play outside on the sidewalk.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So
that's got to be pretty dramatic. You know, you hear that there's a fire in the building and you got all your instruments and your entire livelihood sitting on the table. I guess it's the side gig. This is a side hustle for you.
Yeah, we weren't sure if it was like still the smoke machine or like, you know.
Actual smoke.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's a good, exciting tale for liner notes on future editions of the album.
Yeah, that's a great one. And the that opening band, Miss May, they're from Brantford, but they can always say like they played so hard they you know called the fire.
Set the joint on fire.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
That is. So you had a couple of other shows since then?
Yeah, we had one show at the Horseshoe Tavern.
Oh, cool.
In Toronto.
Well, that's a big place.
Yeah, that was cool. We played on one of their new music nights. And then just a few weeks ago we played in Brantford at Two Doors. And that was a really sick show. Yeah, shout out to the guys at Bummer Records, but they put on like some really cool shows pretty much every week at that bar. And yeah, the crowd turns out. And it was 60s night, so everyone was dressed in their hippies attire.
Yeah. Not 60s music, though. This is...
Not really.
This is something you've called dream pop.
Yeah, I don't know if we agree with that label anymore, but... Yeah, we've heard that it's hard to self-define genre, I guess.
And I've heard dream pop before. It's not unknown in our library.
Yeah. I mean, we were pretty influenced by like Always and Sweet Trip, Beach House, that kind of music. I think for a lot of the tracks, so I think it makes sense.
How varied is your catalog? You're playing other music other than just the stuff that's on the album here. You said you were doing covers in an earlier band. So how varied is your repertoire? Is there headbanging metal in there?
Not quite. But we do play some covers when we play live. Like for 60s Night, we played a couple 60s covers. And I would say even on the album, there's a pretty wide breadth of genre in there too. Like we do have some stuff that's pretty influenced by dream pop. We also have some more electronic songs, some more just psychedelic rock songs. Okay. So,
yeah, when you started off with intro, and we started off with intro here, that reminds me very much of a band called Syrinx, Toronto band from, what, the 1970s, I think. When I first heard that, I figured, oh, yeah, I know what this is all about. And then it wasn't, because it's definitely Waterfowl, not Syrinx.
Yeah, have to check that out.
Yeah, it's a good band.
I think we wrote that song last. We were just like, yeah,
really?
We did an intro.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we did write that last. Yeah.
Wow.
But no, I like that. I like what we came up with. Yeah. I'm proud of that one.
You said the theme of the album is water.
Yeah.
Is that just based on the name of the band? Or is the name of the band?
Partially. Yeah. I think, I don't know. We just used water as a metaphor a lot in the music. So.
Yeah. It's also about finding a home. Just because, me personally, I was moving around a lot during COVID especially, so I think just being in Kitchener and being settled got me thinking about finding a place to live, like finding a home, a community.
Right.
So that's a lot of what the album talks about as well.
Okay. And you said you started in the middle of COVID. That's kind of unusual. A lot of bands couldn't get gigs at all. They spent a lot of time holed up, maybe writing some music, doing some stuff online. But you started up a band in the middle of all the trauma. And I guess the trauma isn't entirely over yet. I'm sitting here wearing a mask still.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was just something to do, you know, because we couldn't really go outside. We couldn't really go to live shows or anything anymore. So the next best thing was to just start a band and write our own music.
Right. And that worked out with just the two of you. How did you come across the other guys to fill out the band?
Ben is one of my... good friends from I met at university here at University of Waterloo, and Calvin is in another band called Shoe Bear that my partner saw like I think a few years ago. They played somewhere in Uptown Waterloo. We had one drummer initially who unfortunately had to drop out because of personal reasons. So before our first gig, we had like three or four weeks, and we had to scramble to find a drummer. So we both messaged this band, Chew Bear, who my partner put me in touch with, about playing with us for that show. And then when we were looking for other drummers, their lead singer and songwriter, Michelle, said, our bassist can can drum for you because he loves playing drums. And so, yeah, it really worked out well.
Cool. So Waterfall's already had the personnel churn.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's going to happen, right?
Yeah, exactly.
As long as you've got somebody that's in tune with the band, it's probably working out okay.
Yeah, we're really happy with how quickly our additional band members have been able to learn all the material, because it was definitely not an easy task.
Yeah, it's got to be tough, you know, coming into a band, you know, with established songs already and having to learn everything in a matter of days.
Yeah, it's one thing if there's like already, if there are covers, so you might already know them, or right, there's like tutorials for it and tabs. Yeah, this is all like material that they'd never heard before, so they're super thankful that it worked out. And
so how do you get the music to the other members that weren't part of writing it?
We sent just the music files, and then whenever they needed more detail, more clarity, I would just send them their isolated tracks just from the actual production.
No sheet music?
Actually, I did send sheet music. I sent tabs for the guitar player.
Tabs. Okay. Yeah. Anything like Lily Pond software that you use to turn music into musical notes?
I did experiment with that at one point, but I didn't find that it worked very well for me.
No?
Yeah. Okay. I found it was easier to just write it down myself.
Yeah. And I think a lot of musicians are probably better off listening to the music. A lot of the new bands are doing exactly that. They're just passing along music files, individual tracks, rather than relying on written notes. Not at all how I expected music to be, but
it's evolving.
It's evolving.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Got another one? What else would you like to have?
Yeah, sure. How about we play Ascending?
That's a fairly long track. How did you come about Ascending? What is Ascending?
Well, on the music side of things, so right before we started the band, I just bought a 12-string.
Oh.
And so I really wanted to try and incorporate that into a couple tracks. So I came up with the kind of the verse part on the 12-string guitar, and the rest of the song kind of came about around that verse part of the 12-string.
Okay, so this is a piece of music written for the 12-string guitar.
Yes. Yeah.
Ascending by Waterfowl on CKMSFM Community Connections.
Thank you.
Some lovely 12-string guitar work at the start there, and then lots of lovely synth work all throughout.
Yeah, those all this guy, all Matt.
Yeah, that's really cool. I like the synth stuff.
Thanks.
Yeah. You said you write for some other instruments intentionally. You know, pick the instrument, write the music for that particular instrument, and create the song out of that. How does that work? Does that mean you're constantly having to go out and buy new instruments?
Sometimes. I did that with the 12-string. I was kind of feeling in a rut with normal guitars, so I went and bought one. Matt's written some songs for the synth before, too. It just depends on, like, what we're playing on that particular day. Sometimes I find that if I'm bored on a guitar and not really having any ideas, then switching to a piano or to, a 12-string guitar can spark some new ideas.
Right.
Yeah, I started working with software synths for this album. I tried some of the Arturia ones out, and there's a whole lot in their catalog, and even within each synth there's so many different kinds of sounds that you can make. So I think a lot of songs could come out of just exploring one of those timbres or a certain effect or like a few knobs on one of the VSTs. Yeah.
You said you've written songs around a particular effect as well.
Yeah, so I guess Open Up was one of the examples, the Leslie effect. I'm not sure.
That's not, you don't actually have a Leslie speaker.
No, we do not have room in the kitchen apartment for a rotary speaker. It was all just like a digital emulation on the pedal.
Yeah. Have you ever played with an actual Leslie? Why pick that as an effect?
I've not played with one. There's actually a guitar store that was literally like almost next door to us in our kitchen apartment. So I went there and they had a functioning Leslie that I messed around with a little bit, which is really cool.
Yeah, that is.
I just really like the sound of it. It's very kind of retro, and it also fits the theme of the album because it kind of sounds watery.
Yeah,
it sounds like underwater a little bit. So
high-speed warbly stuff.
And yeah, it kind of sonically fit.
Yeah, okay, that's really cool to start with an effect and work it into a song.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when you're writing for an effect like that, how do you ensure that the effect doesn't take over the entire song?
For Open Up specifically, it was mostly just about taming it in the mix and also making sure it's not being used the whole time, because it's mainly just in the verse that we use the Leslie effect, and then the chorus we switch to different types of effects, so it's not just defined by that one sound.
Okay, so you've got a bunch of songs written for instrumentation, a bunch of other songs that are focused on just the music.
That's right.
Yeah. What else is in your repertoire? I mean, it's, 8 songs on the album, plus that single that you sent me earlier. But when you're doing a live show, that's not enough to fill a set.
No, we've added a few covers, but most of our sets have been pretty short. We do change some of the tempos, so they're not exactly the same as on the album. And then I'd say that we do have some gaps where we have to, like, switch instruments, like, to the 12-string and do all that tuning. So that's something that we're working on. I feel like our stage presence and audience handling be a bit better. And just like, you know, making small talk with the audience is not something that I'm particularly skilled at, but we're kind of learning as we go.
Is that going to define your set list, not having to switch instrumentations between every single song?
Yeah, like we tried to make the set as efficient as possible in that regard. So we played like the 12-string songs back to back. But yeah, there are some songs where I am on synth, and then there's others where Ben is playing synth because the bass part is more important there. So it just depends on what we decided we could drop out basically from the recording. So there is always some moving around because we're still sharing like one microcorg. So.
And then when you're going from one gig to a different gig, is the setup different between gigs? Are you still working that out? Or
We have a setup that we like. Yeah, we've been able to compact it where we've needed to. So I think we'll probably stick with what we got, and we might look into like using another synth so we don't have to like switch positions all the time. But
a stacked rack, huh?
Yeah, exactly. I think it's working out so far.
Going to be like the drummers, you know, a 20-piece kit for each musician on stage.
Yeah.
It'll be something. All right. You've got upcoming gigs, or are you looking to...
We have a few that are not confirmed yet, but we're trying to plan one more in Toronto and then one in Hamilton. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we've been trying to play in KW as well, but unfortunately the dates haven't worked out yet. Yeah. So, yeah, definitely look out for that because we will...
We're always on the lookout for new shows.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you want to hire an allegedly dream pop 4-piece band with lots of instruments, how do people get a hold of you?
Our main platform, I think, is on Instagram. We're at Waterfowl Music, all spelled out. And you can also find us on Bandcamp and most streaming platforms. Just send us a message and we'll respond.
Waterfowl Musics with an S on the end at gmail.com.
That's correct, yes.
And get your bookings in before they're all booked up for the rest of the summer.
Yeah, they're going fast.
Thank you.
Coming up, we've got 2 potential gigs. What about future recording?
Yeah, we thought about slowly getting back to the drawing board on new ideas. I think we're definitely getting to a point in our live shows where we want to add some more original material to the set.
Okay.
So I think, the next step is going to be doing some jamming of some new ideas, which we're slowly in the process of brewing up.
Mm-hmm. Going out to retreat, you know, just the four of you to...
Exactly.
Jam. We'll go to India like the Beatles.
I was just thinking of just sequestering yourself from the rest of society for, you know, a week or two.
Yeah, that's one thing that, you know, as unfortunate as the pandemic was, it was good. A silver lining, I guess, was, being able to focus more on writing and recording, not having as many distractions.
Well, you do the same thing you did for this album? Write it as an album first and then bring it out to your live audience? Or will you...
I think now that we have the option to play them live, we'll probably workshop them a bit with a live audience just to see what works before we actually start recording and producing them.
Okay. When you do your production, the last production you did this album, of course, was just the two of you working together. What's your setup like?
We had kind of one room that was our living room and also the dedicated music room. It had like all our amps, all our mics. We used an electronic drum kit because there was no way we were going to get away with an acoustic kit in the apartment that we had.
And neighbors might object.
Exactly, especially because we were on the top floor. I don't think that would have worked out. And then basically I just did all the production just in my remote workstation in my room.
And that took a long time, you said, because it's
all
new creative juices that need to be developed.
Yeah, exactly. And for me, like, that was really the first thing that I've ever kind of produced like that. Like, I never really did the production for our band in high school. So in addition to actually producing the songs, I just had to basically learn from scratch how to produce an album.
So as you're doing that, as you're putting it together for the final edition, do you find that you need to change the music as you're going, stuff that doesn't work, but you only notice that when you're in the production phase?
I don't think so. I wouldn't say there's anything like that. If anything, I had to stop myself from like adding so many things because I kept on like adding little textures and little licks here and there. Like eventually, it was just too much. I had to cut it off at some point.
Too much tweaking, never perfect.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's hard to know when you're finished when you don't like set a deadline for that kind of thing because you could really keep going forever and never feel like you're done. So at some point, you just have to call it.
Yeah. Have you ever had to work to a deadline? Have you had commissioned work that, you know, client says have this done by tomorrow or else?
Not as part of Waterfowl. No.
Yeah. Okay. So need to get you some commercial writing gigs, you know?
Yeah, not till we score a movie.
Ah, there's an idea. Cool. There's an idea. When Waterfowl became Waterfowl, did you intend to have the water as a theme for your music?
I think that was before, but like we came up with the band name before the album ideas, really.
Okay.
It was just something, we liked the word Waterfowl. I'm a very novice birder, I would say. So
cool.
We were scrolling through, we were looking at like different bird names because we were like, oh, maybe we could name ourselves after a bird. And then we scrolled past the waterfowl section and we thought, you know, that was nice.
That's cool.
We lived right by Victoria Park too, which is home to many, many geese. And then the two famous swans. So we would see them like every day.
That's a good backstory there.
Yeah, it's nice.
There's an other band called Waterfowl that caused me a bit of difficulty when I was trying to look you folks up. And Waterfowl Music is a bad name to go to.
Yeah, they'll be hearing from our lawyers.
Just kidding.
Yeah. Waterfowlmusic.bandcamp.com to get the right one. And Waterfowl Music on Instagram as well. Got another track to pick out?
Yeah, why don't we play All My Time?
All My Time. It's on the top of my list, alphabetically first at any rate. Where'd this come from?
This was another one that was kind of derived from an effect. This digital pedal I have, you can kind of make a digital effects chain with like up to six different effects. And there was this patch that I was messing with that was kind of a lo-fi patch that makes it seem like your guitar is coming out of an old TV, basically. And I started messing around with that. And that's where kind of the intro guitar part for this song came out of. And the rest of it just flew from there.
Did it really fly? Was this an agonizing piece or was this just dripping off the ends of your fingers?
I would say this was another one where the music came pretty quickly and the lyrics kind of took longer. That's generally how it went when we were writing.
Okay, let's have a listen to it. This is All My Time by Waterfowl.
Thank you.
All My Time by Waterfowl. The song you said that you close your live sets with.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. It's a nice, like, high energy song to end it.
Yeah. It didn't find it so much high energy. It's just nice and relaxing and smooth. Yeah, it's good summertime music.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah. I'm going to be playing that a little bit more, I think.
Sorry?
I'm going to be playing that a little bit more.
Oh, thank you.
So you submitted music here to CKMS. How else do you get your music distributed? I mean, you can't just rely on people to wander by the Bandcamp site.
Well, that's a lot of what we do, actually.
Yeah.
It's that, and then we also have it on streaming. Yeah, as we said before, we promoted our album kind of using some various online services. Like, we used some playlisting services.
Right.
We submitted to things like SubmitHub.
I haven't heard of that.
It's basically this online platform where you can pay a little bit to submit your songs to be reviewed by music blogs, and then they can approve them, and then they'll post like an article or share it on their website.
Okay. And do you track how effective those particular channels are? Do you find that you get some return on it?
I think so, yeah. It really depends on the type of song it is, because a lot of the blogs really just specialize in one specific genre, so you have to do your research to make sure the blogs you submit to are, they really suit the song that you're submitting. Right. You can't just submit anything or else you'll never get approved.
Yeah. And do you have any control over who does the reviewing? Or is it?
It's usually blogs that are managed by like one or two people, so.
Okay.
Yeah, you can submit to whatever blog you like.
Okay. Better to submit to a radio station and get some airplay, too.
Yeah, that too.
Have you done that to other stations?
We submitted to a couple other Ontario stations, yeah.
Okay.
But haven't heard anything back just here.
Well, yeah. There's the National Campus and Community Radio Association, NCRA, has a site called Earshot. So if you and any other bands are interested in getting your music promoted to campus and community stations, submit it to Earshot, and it'll get picked up. All across Canada, really, by campus and community stations all over. Hmm. So, small fee for that. Hit me up for an access code, which gets you a discount. That goes for anybody. If you're out there producing music, you want music played on the radio, send an email to office@radiowaterloo.ca, and then you'll get in the list of thousands and thousands of messages. Put something like CanCon or KWCon, if you're from the local area here, and that'll tweak my attention, get you into the studio, and get your music played on the air.
Well, thanks. We'll definitely check that out.
Yeah. Are you going to be performing in Toronto and touring elsewhere?
We haven't thought about touring yet. I think we'll probably look for some more shows around the GTA and then KW in Hamilton. Yeah, I think it would be cool to go on tour.
East. I think we need a bit more of a following first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe after the second album.
Okay. There's a chance of teaming up with other bands, you know, going out as a three or four band entourage, and then you know, putting together a whole evening of music. You know,
yeah, that's true.
For each band.
That'd be very fun.
Yeah. Got to be expensive, though.
Yeah, we wouldn't do it for the money. Definitely not doing it for the money.
It's tough to make a living at this. I mean, with the huge music companies, you know, the big name distributors, I think that they're promoting, you know, just a handful of people that make the really, really, really big time, and then everybody else gets ignored. So, got to go out and do it yourself.
Yeah.
Which you've been doing.
I think that's like one of the unfortunate things about the internet age, is just like this huge disparity, like you're saying, between the very top of the top and everyone else.
So. I'm not so sure that that's necessarily a bad thing, because you know, you have control over what it is that you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, one more time for the contact information. Want to get Waterfowl on your own stage? Contact.
You can send us an email at waterfowlmusics with an S at gmail.com, or you can find us on Instagram at waterfowlmusic, and we're on Bandcamp. You can send us a message there. And you can also find us on major streaming services.
Major streaming services like Bandcamp, SoundCloud, Spotify?
Exactly.
Yeah, Spotify, Apple Music, everything.
Okay. I have all those links in the show notes, radiowaterloo.ca/CCC. Matt Lamb and Aaron Lang from Waterfowl, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
It has been a great and fast hour.
Very fast.
Yeah. Next time you come in, bring a synth and a guitar. I'll get you to do some live in-studio performing.
Sounds good.
We will do that.
You've been listening to CKMS Community Connections on CKMS FM. CKMS Community Connections is produced by Radio Waterloo. Executive producer is Jennifer Strong. Associate producer is Jeff Stager. CKMS Community Connections airs every Monday at 11 a.m. and Fridays at 3 p.m., alternate Fridays at 3 p.m. Be back next week. Talk to you then.